Good morning, everyone. My name's Calvin Meeks. I'm a current PhD student under Dr. John Snyder in Tifton. Today I'll be discussing some of my PhD research concerning using an unmanned aerial vehicle to take conventional photography and convert it essentially into an index image similar to what you would do to get an NDVI if you used it to get, if you did a super blue image to get NDVI from a camera image. And we also took chlorophyll fluorescence data, and we are using this to detect water-induced differences in the cotton for yield and for the canopy development. The justification for undertaking this research is based on the fact that in Georgia, by the year 2050, there's predicted to be a considerable increase in the acreage of irrigated crops. However, cotton is predicted to nearly double the acreage that's actually irrigated in Georgia, with an 89% increase by the year 2050. So we need to make sure that there's an increase in water use efficiency due to the water war lawsuits and whatnot with Florida. So to make sure there's enough water to go around for everyone, this is definitely a hot topic in Georgia. Why would you want to use a UAV for this? Relatively, they're cheap. It's very fast to take the data with it, and this would be applying lab work to the field. When you compare the cost, it's roughly $10,000 to get an NDVI system like a Green Seeker installed. However, the IRIS drone, which is a step under what we used to take our data with, if you put every option available, it's only $2,000 compared to $10,000. And of course, you could also do fixed wings as well, which they, you can build a fixed wing like the one on the bottom right here for $500 or less if you're willing to build it yourself, and they just go up into thousands of dollars from there. The advantages you would have: a quadcopter, you can take that off from anywhere, which is what we used. A flying wing, however, has a much better range. It has a range measured in miles instead of thousands of feet like a quadcopter would. And the flying wing has endurance up to an hour, whereas a quadcopter, you're looking at 10 to 15 minutes. But a quadcopter doesn't stall, so you can actually hover over anything and get an up-close look when you find something in the field. The disadvantage to both, of course, is what goes up must come down, so landings can be an issue for you. So the question is the future of farming going to be possibly a small fleet of drones in the field? Possibly. My research is based on the fact that a healthy leaf reflects infrared light, but it also reflects green light. And this image here is what is called a super blue image. It's where the filter is taken out of the camera and the picture is taken, and you actually can use this to take an NDVI image as a low-cost alternative to something like a Green Seeker. Previous research has shown by Dr. Glenn Ritchie that you can use a ratio of red to green pixels and correlate that with ground cover fraction, and that generally can be correlated with NDVI. Dr. Ritchie did an actual comparison of the number of green plant pixels to total pixels. So his was actually a green-red ratio, and I consider mine a red-green index just to get some differentiation there. Our objective was to define the utility of using this photography and the chlorophyll fluorescence for detecting the water-induced differences in both the canopy development and the yield as well. We hypothesized that NDVI would correlate with the red-green index, and that our OGIP data, which was our fluorescence data, would correlate similarly. Our experiment was conducted in Camilla at the Stripling Irrigation Park in South Georgia. We have four replications there was one cotton cultivar, Fibermax 1944, and then we had four pre-bloom irrigation triggers triggered with Watermark soil moisture sensors. We triggered irrigation at negative 20 centibars for a full irrigated, a negative 40 centibar trigger, a negative 70 centibar trigger, and a negative 100 centibar trigger. And this was all done just pre-bloom, just for pre-bloom irrigation. At first bloom, all irrigation triggers went to 35 centibars instead. And all irrigation was applied at 3/10 of an inch pre-bloom, and post-bloom it was applied at either 6/10 or 9/10 of an inch, depending on the stage of bloom. There was also a dry land check for this, but this could not be randomized due to the limitations that we had with our irrigation system. We collected NDVI with a green seeker. The fluorescence was collected with a fluoropen, and we used a 3D Robotics X8 UAV that had a GoPro mount, GoPro camera mounted in a gimbal, so it was, it, once it was set to look at the ground, regardless of maneuvers by the aircraft, it would look at the ground completely level. This is an example of the variable rate pivot. It's computerized, so you would simply program in your plot area, and the reason we ran out of room was essentially is making sure there was enough of a buffer between the treatments that whenever it switched modes, that what was getting water got water and what was not supposed to get water didn't. Our images were converted with Fiji, which is also known as ImageJ2, and the frames from the video that was shot with the GoPro camera was pulled with a AVI DMUX 2.5, and the data was submitted to a photo imaging plugin that has been custom developed for NDVI work, and it was, there's custom lookup tables that were used to get to convert the images, and all the software is open source and is free for use, non-commercially. Statistical analysis was done with JMP11. Whenever we examine the applied irrigation in Camilla, we had a slightly drier year than normal. We averaged 16 inches of rain a year. We had 12.6 this year. And the two drier pre-bloom irrigation triggers saved roughly 1.2 inches of applied irrigation. And throughout the year, what was noticed, this image was taken at roughly 30 feet in the air. And if you look here, you actually can see from the image crinkled leaves, and this was actually the same time we had a problem with an aphid infestation. So this could also be used as a scouting tool as well. This is a shot from 300 feet in the air at the variable rate irrigation system in Camilla. This out here would be irrigated, and you can visually tell the difference even with your bare eye compared to the dry land that looks much less healthy here. And when it's converted, you can see with the image here, the dry land, there's not very many green pixels for the plants that are there. It's mostly showing red, which would be very little green reflected back. And when you examine the irrigated, you can see it's very green. The little red dots would simply just be where the soil is visible through the canopy. And this data, when it's converted with ImageJ, you end up with a histogram that will give you a mean for the number of green pixels compared to the number of red pixels. When examining the red-green index over the year, there was no statistical differences between the irrigated treatments, and there's due to the fact that we couldn't randomize the dry land with us. The dry land is illustrated, but it's not part of the statistical analysis. And these trends were very similar to our NDVI readings as well. You can see here with NDVI, it has a similar trend as the red-green index, with the blue line being significantly lower to the visual eye anyway, would be the dry land. However, when we examine our fluorescence data, there's a similar trend, but even when you analyze the stats, even though statistically the dry land was not randomized with everything else, the other data separates out where the irrigated is significantly different than the dry land. However, with the OGIP data, it actually showed no significant differences between any of the treatments. And we determined through our statistical analysis that our NDVI and our red-green index, there is correlation there. And this correlates with our lint yield. Our lint yield for Camilla, we detected no significant differences in the lint yield between the irrigated treatments and the dry lands, illustrated here just to give an illustration of the difference for the drought period we had. In conclusion, the NDVI and the red-green index suggested no significant differences between any of the irrigated treatments. The yield data suggests there was no significant differences between any of the irrigated treatments as well. And the OGIP performance index suggested no differences as well. Our future research, we're going to look at evaluating a visible vegetation index versus the NDVI, which is where the image is actually, it uses the red, the green, and the blue channels instead of just looking at the red and the green. We're also going to correlate leaf area index to ground truth our remote sensing data. And we're also looking integrating a dedicated NDVI camera into the UAV, so we would have an actual NDVI image taken at the same time as the conventional image as well. We're also looking at evaluating some of the other lookup tables, because this is a visible vegetative index one, and you can see there's a lot more color added to it, so there's a potential there that when the histograms are done, there could be more differences detected. And I would like to acknowledge the Georgia Cotton Commission for all their contributions to our work, the UGA Cotton team, especially Lola Sexton and Will Vance and Kerry Dixon for all they do throughout the year to help us collect all this data, and Ned Horning as well. He actually is the person that wrote plug-in for ImageJ, and he actually does his job relates nothing to this. He actually did this as a hobby and released it for free for anyone to use. He's actually a biostatistics guy for the Department of Natural History, and he's developed 16 different lookup tables for this type of imagery, and he's done it all for free. So I could not have done this without the work he's done. And I thank you for your time, and I'll be glad to entertain any questions anyone might would have.
We have a couple minutes for
what I've noticed is if you, like, the images for this were all taken at 30 feet. That analysis was done at 30 feet. However, if you look at the 300 feet, at least with the photography on here, the ground, due to the angle of the camera, the ground really doesn't come through the canopy. Even when the canopy is pretty much closed, when you're only at 30 feet, you can still see some soil reflecting back through it, and I think that's what we're going to have to do in the future to get some of that out, is to look at it by pixel by pixel, and essentially possibly even maybe look at just comparing the green pixels to themselves, and that way to get the reflectance out. And If the visible vegetation index, if we use that, that should help as well, because the soil reflects as red and everything else will be green and blue, so that would help eliminate some of the soil background that would be picked up as well. A 3D robotics X8. We went with X8 essentially because it had 8 engines, and I figured for what we were spending, it was probably best to get one with some redundancy just in case we lost a motor, and it actually has lost props in flight and still managed to stay aloft. So it was probably a better idea using it than the quad rotor, and we also got the X8, so there's the possibility for integrating heavier cameras into it in the future.
Thank you, Captain.
Thank you.